Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 4. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. Familiar reading, or at least there'll be some familiar terms here that we'll be looking into. When you look into the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find there was the judge, Eli. There was a woman by the name of Hannah that desired a child, and God gave her a child, and his name was Samuel. And she gave him back to the Lord. That's all given to us in these first couple, three verses of 1 Samuel. In chapter number 3, we find the Lord calling Samuel to be his prophet, to be his spokesman to the people of Israel, as he was there in the temple with Eli. The Lord came to him by night two or three different times. And finally Samuel said, Here am I. And the Lord revealed to him that he wanted him to be his spokesman. In verse 19, the Bible says Samuel grew. That means he became an adult. And it says, and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan unto Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So Samuel is now known in all of Israel that he is the prophet of God. Last verse there in chapter number 3 says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 4, 20 some odd years now has gone by from the time Samuel accepted the call of God to we come to chapter 4 of the incident that takes place here. So Samuel's not a young child now. He's an adult. Time has gone by. Some 20 some odd years has passed. And the Bible says the word of Samuel came to all Israel. We know from the preceding verses that we just read the word that was of Samuel really was the word of the Lord, because it came unto him there in Shiloh, and Samuel repeated that. It says, now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army of the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh, and that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of the great shout of the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods. You'll notice there's got a S on that. That's the Philistines. They have no idea who God is. And so they say, who's going to deliver us out of the hand of their gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, and quiet yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye may not be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quiet yourselves like men, and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. So here in these two battles that we've read about in these few verses, there are 34,000 men of the army of Israel that has been destroyed by the Philistines. Notice verse 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh, and the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon the seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came to the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim, and that he could not see. And the man said to Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. Thy two sons also, Hophni, Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off his seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said to her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." And she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." In the land of Israel, the ark of the covenant was the most precious possession that they had. It was that ark that housed within it at one time had the rod that Aaron had that budded to prove who God was to him. It had the tables of stone that had the commandments written upon it that was on the inside, and also had a pot of manna. Those things were to represent the guidance and the direction, the protection, and the provision of God. The Ark of the Covenant sat at the holy, most holy place, and that mercy seat upon top of that had two angelic beings. It was made out of pure gold, and their wings overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant really was where, in the Old Testament, where God resided. This is where God, His presence, was shown. In the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord came down there upon that Ark of the Covenant. In the temple, when Solomon built the temple and it was completed and his prayer of dedication was given, you'll read the scripture that the glory of the Lord came down upon that place and it rested and hovered above that Ark of the Covenant. And so it's a very important piece of article, of furniture, to the people of Israel, and it was very important in a typology representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have this particular period here that Eli has been the judge 40 years. And you can say a lot about Eli, but you're not going to say a whole lot of good about him because he was not as strong as he should have been. The two sons that were mentioned of him, Phinehas and Hophni, they were wicked sons. They were terrible people that were dwelling and helping in the work of the Lord. And so the whole family was not as it should be. And in the story here, of course, as we read, we find that the land of Israel, the people of Israel came up against, and the Philistines came up against them. And one battle they lost 4,000, another battle they lost 30,000, and they fled every man to his own tent or to his own dwelling place. And in that fleeing, the two sons of Eli are killed, and the Ark of the Covenant is taken. This messenger comes back, as we've read, and tells the story of what takes place. When Eli hears that, he hears that his sons are killed. But when he hears that the ark of God is taken, he falls off back behind beside his seat where he was sitting. He breaks his neck. He dies. His daughter-in-law is about to give birth to a child. She hears that her husband has died, which is the son of Eli. She hears that the ark of God has been taken, and all of a sudden the birth pains come upon her, and she delivers a child, and she names that baby Ichabod. Now, you'll only find Ichabod listed two times in the Scripture. One time is what we read right here, and another time is just maybe 10 or 11 chapters over, which it talks about Ichabod's brother. And so there's not a whole lot said about him, but there's a whole lot can be said about his name. And this morning I want us to deal with the subject of Ichabod, or the glory is departed. I put a title on the message, When the Lights Go Out. Because when you talk about the glory of God departing, the lights literally have gone out. And we find that there's much difficulty here. Some 3,200 years ago, there's a little boy that came into the world, Ichabod by name, a curious name. But in that day, he lost his father, he lost his mother, he lost his grandfather, he lost his entire family because the glory of the Lord had departed. And as the mother, as she draws her last breath, she says, "Call him, his name is Ichabod." She realized that the glory of God, in the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, she realized that God's presence and God's glory had departed from them. And as she gave birth, she gives him that name, calling him Ichabod. All of his life, the child remembered what his name meant. It doesn't give us anything about his life, but I'll guarantee you he knew why he was named what he was named. And recognizing that the glory of the Lord, or the light of God. When the Bible talks about the glory of God, it many times is dealing with light or dealing with a revealing. It usually, glory usually applies to honor. It applies to praise. It applies to splendor. It refers to the brightness of a thing. And we find it outshines all other things. The Bible tells us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that that Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus came to give light to the Gentiles. Thank God I'm a Gentile. Thank God the light shined unto me and was shown to me, and I got saved by the grace of the Lord. And that's why Jesus came, that he might shine unto the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. When Saul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, you'll find that the Lord, Paul says that he saw a light shining there in Acts chapter 22. Verse 11 says, "When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by hand of them that with me, I came into Damascus." So Paul says the glory that he saw from the light that was around him, he had to be led from on the road to Damascus to the city of Damascus, for he was blinded. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 23. It says the Bible, the Scripture says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." And so glory and light are given to us time and time again as synonymous terms. And so when she said the glory is departed, it also meant that the light has gone out. The light of God's grace and God's mercy had gone out. And the Scripture tells us from that point on, Israel had suffered so many, many problems. When we come to the Word of God, we find sometimes in many places the Word of God has been removed, and therefore the glory of God is gone, and the light of the Gospel no longer shines. The Bible says that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. This book that we have before us this morning, this Bible that we believe, this Bible that we read, is a light unto our pathway. It gives us direction. It gives us a way. I notice sometimes different people have different ways of getting around in the dark. And now, so how many of you have ever used the light on your phone to lighten the way? You don't even have to you don't even have to turn on where that little bright light comes on. Just hit that button, it brightens up, and you can see where you're going. Well, the Scripture tells us that the Word of God is a light unto our pathway. It's a light that gives us direction in which way we're to turn, which way we're to go. It gives us a light where we don't have to stumble over things that are ahead of us. We don't go into a ditch. We stay true to the things of the Lord. But what happens when the light goes out? Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says, "The law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." If someone comes along and gives you a false teaching and a doctrine that's not found in this book, you know what? They're full of darkness. There is no light in them according to the Word of God. Now, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." The prophecy, the Word of God, is like a light that shines in a dark place. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Thank God for that verse. We that are simple, the Word of God gives us light. It gives us understanding from the Scripture. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 5, "Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth." The Word of God is the judgment and the light of God that goes forth. So, with those comparisons in mind, I want us to think about when the light goes out. Does the light go out on different societies and different people? Sure it does. The Bible gives us many illustrations of lights going out. As the Scripture gave here this morning, she named that child Ichabod, saying the glory is departed from Israel. It wasn't just departed from her family. It wasn't just departed from Eli's family. It was departed from all the land of Israel, that country. And so the glory can depart from a country. The glory of God can go out in the land of people. The light goes out, the glory is departed when the Word of God is removed and we no longer take advantage of what God has given to us. We know the history of our country. We know the foundation of our country. We know the things that took place in our early history. And despite what we are told by our media and despite what we are told by the politicians, God has always been active in the history of this country. We were founded upon the principles of the Word of God. Was everybody a Christian? No. But at least they were identified with, they were able to understand that there is a God in heaven that rules in the affairs of mankind. And we have our land, we have our nation, because those folks understood that to have a solid foundation, it must be built upon something that is standard, something that is true, and something that gives light. And my friend, this book here is what gives us light. When the Word of God is removed by the laws and by the courts, then we find ourselves in darkness. When the Word of God, and it has been removed from our land, it has been removed by our courts, it has been removed from even the learning of our children. Decades now have gone by since it has said we can no longer read our Bible or pray in our public school system. And those decades have been devastating to this country. You know why? Because we rejected light. And when you reject light, darkness is going to proceed. It's going to come forth. If it was dark outside, and we would gradually turn these lights out, you'll find that if you turn them out all of a sudden, then it's a shock to our system. But if you gradually turn those things down, all of a sudden you're sitting in the dark and you don't realize where it's come from. You know where we are in our country today? It has gradually gone out to most people do not realize spiritually what is taking place in this nation. But the lights have gone and are going out because we have rejected the Word of the Lord. The Word of God was removed from the learning of our children. American schools, the Word of God has been replaced with the culture of the heathen. You can say what you want to about our public education. It is a culture of the heathen. When our students go off to secular college, I don't even like that term secular, but it describes it pretty good. It means without God. And when they go off to a college that has no understanding of biblical teaching, then they are bombarded with what has taken place over these decades that we've gotten used to. The language is terrible.
The attitudes are terrible, and if you happen to believe in creation, you're just a moron. Now, I'll tell you who the moron is. It's that one that does not believe it. We have gotten so used to what has taken place, we have accepted it and we have not fought against it, that we now have lost a generation of many young people. As far as I'm concerned right now, Ken Ham is probably the best spokesman that we have for creation. There's others, but he has an ear. He has the people's ear. And I've mentioned this book before, and somehow I've misplaced it. I'm just going to have to order me another one. It's entitled Already Gone, talking about our children. They sit in the pew of the church and they go to the schools that tell them exactly opposite of what our churches tell them, and so many churches now do not tell them that they're already gone when they're sitting there. All they have to do is walk out and never come back, and that's what's happening to a generation of young people. And so we find that we have secularized our nation, that we do not want God. There's a police department that has on the back of their car, "In God We Trust," and they're being sued because they display our national motto. Isn't that stupid? It's on our money, it's on our coins, it's everywhere, but you can't put it out where anybody can read it because we believe in separation of church and state. That is a poor excuse. What has happened, we have so gotten our minds to the thought of being politically correct that it's just according to public opinion what's right and what's wrong. I'll tell you what, public opinion has always been wrong. Public opinion against the Lord Jesus Christ was wrong. Public opinion against Paul the Apostle put him in jail. Public opinion against Stephen had him stoned. So public opinion means nothing when it comes to the light of the God of heaven. And so we need to realize that the light is going out and it's very dim. And it's going to get worse. It's removed from our children and been replaced by the culture of the heathen or the lost. It's either back to the Bible or we're going back to the jungle. And we're at the edge of it now. We're just about to swing and be Tarzan. And so we find that it's because we have rejected light. If you reject these lights, if you don't want them, don't turn them on. But don't gripe because you don't have them. Because it's available. We have rejected the things of the Lord to the point that we are living in the darkness of the wicked. That we realize something's gone wrong. When the Word of God is removed from our lives and the lives of its citizens, then we find that our views are always wrong and never right because there's no light casting upon truth. When we displace and when we remove the Scriptures and the effect of the Scriptures against citizens, then we become illiterate as to what God says. You can go out here this morning on the streets of Madisonville, Kentucky. Go down there to Walmart. Forget the streets. There's more in Walmart than there is the streets. And you can go to Walmart this morning and you talk to the average Joe and they have no idea what spirituality is all about, what God's about. I'm not talking about church people. I'm talking about people that just don't care. They have no idea who God is. That's in small town USA, Madisonville, Kentucky. You can probably get smaller than that. You can probably go down here at Hanson and find some people that have no idea who God is or what it's all about. And you go to the largest cities. You go to the metropolitan areas like Louisville and Lexington and even Evansville. People do not know, do not understand, have no idea at all what spirituality is about. And they have no idea and they don't want to know. It's amazing to me, just common, everyday, just making sense, how we've thrown it out. You know why we've done that? The glory has departed. The nation has rejected. We talk about the decline of England. From England came America. From the English people, primarily, the pilgrims came from that land of Great Britain. And they came because they wanted religious freedom. And when they got over here, they did the same thing they had in England. You know why? They didn't have light. But the decline has taken place in England, and it's happening in America just like. When we were in Wales, and I've told you this before, when we were in Wales, right there, Great Britain, have all kind of churches. Beautiful edifices. Beautiful buildings. But they don't have any people. This building right here is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the church. People, breathing, living individuals. And when the people are gone, all you have is an empty structure. And they talk about their churches as being beautiful, and they remember how they once were. And I told someone, I said, they talk about their churches like they do their castles, and they're all dead. They don't have anybody. And that's what's taking place in America as we sit here in our pew. The light has gone out. America, how depraved is America? I'm sure you, like I, was surprised, appalled at some of the things we saw here just lately on Planned Parenthood. That's just planned murder, by the way. We are trying to live by the polls. Well, if the poll says this, that means that it's got to be right. I heard Mike Huckabee say the other day, polls do not matter. And I said, amen. He made the statement, doesn't matter what the polls say, it's barbaric. Amen. And really and truly this morning, no society can or will remain because of the actions that we're taking. Whether the world wants to believe it, whether Congress wants to accept it, whether the nation will ever believe it, there is a God in heaven, and there is a book that tells us about Him. And that does not change the fact that God will do exactly what He said He would do. Now, my God is a God of love and mercy. He's a God that calls unto Him. But there's a day come when His voice will change and judgment will fall. And we're studying about that on Sunday night. Everything that God has judged in His book, we are guilty of committing today. Who would have ever thought we'd watch someone talk about and laugh about taking arms and limbs and hearts out of babies and selling them? If that doesn't upset you, you need to check you. If that doesn't upset Hillary, Hillary needs to check her. They laugh about it and mock about it. And these are little babies, some of them still living. And they pull their heart out so they can sell it to someone for whatever. You tell me God won't judge America for that. You tell me God hadn't departed from us. I disagree. Am I stirred up about it? Yes, I am. I'm stirred up for my country. I'm stirred up for my family. I'm stirred up for my grandchildren. What are they going to face? What's your grandchildren going to face? What's it going to be like when our children and your children grow up and they have their children? We went to see, met Amy and the kids yesterday halfway. James had a birthday last week. Can't believe he's 14, but what's it going to be like when he has children? We better put something in our kids out of this book. Because if we don't put it up here, they will put it up here. That's why the majority of people now coming out of classrooms never give God a thought and make fun of God. We're just here by chance anyway. And the dear children that we have taught and the ones that we've sweated over and wept over, they're thrown out there and they're the ones that's the bad guy. Katie's had some problems. Michaela's had some problems. Just simply, we live in a society that hates our God. Thank God there's a place that we've been able to teach them a few things. pray God would give them liberty and just old-fashioned guts to stand up for what's true. We better pray for our kids, because the world will eat them alive. The glory has departed from a nation. God said it departed from Israel. I believe it's departing from America. The glory can depart from our children. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. The glory of children are their fathers. Children's children. That means my grandchildren. No wonder we act crazy over them. Things I said I'd never do, I've done over and over again. That's my child's child. The glory has gone from many children because it's gone from the home. No one has a role model. Nobody has a family member. Very seldom do they sit down and have a meal together. Very seldom do they ever sit down and talk together. For the most part in America, very seldom do they go to church together, because most of them don't go to church. There's a generation that knows not God. The rules have changed on how to raise children. Restraints have changed on what we do, because we have rejected the light, the glory of God. We are run now by people that have a humanistic philosophy and have no idea about God. So the glory can depart from a country. The glory can depart from our children. Thirdly, the glory can depart from a church. You say, oh, I thought church has a church name, ought to be good. You better check it out real good. There's a church in South Carolina, First Baptist, big church. There's churches in every area that deny this book. They may have the word Baptist on their name. And I praise God for every one of them that dropped the name Baptist. Because if they can drop it, that means they're not. There's churches all across our country that have departed from the light, the gospel of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, hadn't been too long ago on Sunday night, we read this verse. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come to thee, and I will remove thy candlestick. That means thy power, the presence of God. He said, I'm going to remove it if you don't repent from your evil doings and evil ways. He said, I'll take the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Don't hear much about repentance anymore. And I'll tell you what, you'll never get saved unless you repent. And you'll never stay real close to God unless you learn how to repent every day. It's very important in a child of God's life to repent. To turn. I'm going the wrong direction. God shows me, and I'm going to turn. I'm going to be different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to... just everything going to be different. I'm going to turn. That's repentance. And I tell you what, we have to do it every day. Because somewhere down the line in our daytime, we sin against God and we must turn. The glory can depart from a church. When the love of the Word of God is gone, when the loyalty of the Word of God is gone, when our living the Word of God is gone, then the glory is departed. And the power of God is no longer upon that place. Many churches have no direction. Many churches are in shambles. Many churches, they're just out of order. Many of them are out of existence. We have Bible colleges that used to be great, now are faltering everywhere. You know why? Churches.
The college I went to, when I went, we had 4,000 students. I had 1,280-something in my freshman class. And now they do good to muster up 250 in the whole school. But they have made progress. They're progressive. They've learned that they don't need this book anymore. They don't need to study. They don't need to live it. They don't need to act it. They don't need God anymore. It's done them real good. Tennessee Temple's out of existence. When I went to BBC, at that time, Temple had probably 4,000 also. We had a running battle between our school and their school. Who's going to be the largest? And now one's gone, one might as well be. One needs to be gone. That does not make me happy. But that makes me have a lot of enemies. The churches are out of order. Large churches have gone by the wayside. Temple Baptist Detroit's gone. Landmark Baptist Temple Cincinnati's gone. All they may still have the name, but they're gone. The glory departed. You know what most of it was connected to? This right here. This right here. The glory can depart from a church, and it does. And then lastly, the glory can depart from a Christian, from a child of God. God no longer influences us. God no longer has His way. We quit reading our Bible. We quit receiving the book. We quit rejoicing in the Word of God. We just go our merry way. And no longer do we have the power of God upon our lives. Now, I didn't say we're going to hell. I didn't say we lose our salvation. But we've lost the glory of the Lord. We've lost the joy of the Lord. David said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." David had lost it. You know why? He departed from the Word. You know why Eli, that we read about this morning, you can read his history. You know why he died the way he died? Because he departed from the Lord. He would not stand for truth because of his family. His two boys were wicked and he did nothing about it. Let them serve in the temple. Let them take care of the Ark of the Covenant. No wonder God killed him. The glory is departed. 1 Peter 4, verse 14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." If somebody comes and makes fun of you because you're a Christian, just smile and say, "You're right. Happy are ye. For the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, He is the evil spoken of. But on your part, He is glorified." That's the difference between the lost and the saved. And if we are reproached, if we're ridiculed, if we're made fun of, happy are we. Because they're telling the truth on us. "Well, you believe that thing called the Bible?" "Hey, yes, sir, do." Happy are you. "You mean you believe certain things that this book says it's unbelievable?" "Yes, I do. I can't explain the virgin birth, and can no one else. And I sure do believe it, and I'm happy that He came, born of a virgin. For if He had not, He'd have had my sin nature, and He could not have died for me." "You mean you believe in the resurrection?" "Yes, I do." Jesus said, "You destroy this temple, and 3 days I'll raise it up." And He did. "You mean you believe all those things?" Like that fellow on the phone the other day said, "You mean you believe the story of the ark and Noah?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Well, how can that be?" I said, "I don't know, but I just believe it because it's in the book." I said, "You're so smart, you tell me why it wouldn't work." I said, "I can give you people that can tell you how it does work." Happy are ye. I'm glad this morning there is a glory of God.
I'm glad I can experience it. I'm glad I can have it. I'm glad I can share it. I'm glad I can tell people. What are we going to do when the lights go out? I believe we'll all just keep staying where we are, preaching what we preach, believing what we believe, even if we're in darkness. And my friend, when you go out those doors, the sun may be shining bright, but you're going to go into a world that is full of darkness. No light. Because they've rejected the Word of God. The Bible says in the Psalms, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations crumble, and my friend, foundations are crumbling. The house is tottering. When the foundation gives way, you no longer have level floors and plumb walls. When the foundation begins to move, you have cracks in the ceiling. You have doors that will not shut right and windows that will not open. When the foundation of a nation is destroyed, everything goes wrong in that house. And the Lord says there's going to be a destruction, and great is the fall of it. What are we to do? What we've always done. For He is our light. He is our liberty. He is our love. Just stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay firm in His Word. Let Him speak to your heart. For when we do that, His light will be in our soul. Let's stand together this morning.